Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the world is changing. And honestly, it always has been changing. New ideas, new circumstances, new inventions and technology. They've always been facilitating change all around us. But you know, certain periods in history, they stand out as exceptional times of change. Times when things seem to move a little bit faster. I mean, just a few of those times would have been the Renaissance, the invention of the printing press, even the world wars. Times where things sped up, either because they had to, because circumstances dictated that the world had to change, or sometimes simply because they could. Because new technology facilitated the ability to change at rapid speeds. And today we are honestly in one of those periods of rapid change. The technological development over the last 30 years has changed our world. The speed at which ideas can now be shared has changed our world. The invention of the internet, the use of it, the wireless connectivity we now have, laptops and smartphones and all the platforms and applications built on that connection we all have, it has sped up this process in which we share information, in which we share ideas and new thoughts. And our world has changed because of it. You'd be fooling yourself if you said you didn't feel that change, because suddenly radically different viewpoints grow faster than ever. And before we even know it, people feel left behind because the world has changed before they noticed it. And technology is largely responsible for reshaping the environment we live in today. So here's the question. With everything around us changing, with new ways to communicate, new ways to share ideas, new ideas changing and being shared more rapidly than ever, how do we as Christians navigate that environment? How do we live our lives in a God-pleasing way in this changing circumstance around us? And I got to start with this. Technology is not bad. Technology is not evil. In fact, it's actually good. Like everything else in God's creation and like most things in the creation he has allowed us to make, it is good and it has a purpose. Technology is good. But yet, it's how we use it that can be used for evil. And there are a lot of things like this. A lot of things in God's creation that are inherently good, that are made for a purpose, but yet we use for evil and we use at our own detriment. Take a look at just some of the obvious things. Alcohol, sex, modern medicine, food, weapons, all things made with a purpose. All things that God uses for good, but things that we so often turn against ourselves. Things so often we use against his purposes, against his will, and against ourselves. And technology, it fits right into that category. Things that are good, but can be used for evil, that can be used against God's will. So here again is the question. How do we live in this new environment with all this technology, in a way that is both God-pleasing and a way that is good for us? Two things we're trying to accomplish there. What is God-pleasing and what is good for us? But here's the thing about those two things. They're the same. What is God-pleasing is also what is good for us. Always. His law, his commands, his will. It is with us and our best interest and the best interest of all people in mind. That's why St. Paul sums up that idea in Romans chapter 8, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. God-pleasing and good for us, they are the same thing, even when they don't seem like it. Even when what is God-pleasing does not seem like it is good for me right now. There are many things and many ways we can convince ourselves in our own narrow-minded view that what is God-pleasing is not actually good for me. A great example of that is the act of tithing, of giving 10% of your financial resources back to God. Now, someone could pretty easily make a convincing argument that that is not good for you, that giving away 10% of what you have is not good for you, It's not good for your retirement. It's not good for your kids' college fund. It's not good for you having what you want. But at the same time, we know that what is God pleasing and giving back to him is good for us. It's good for all people and what he does through that gift and for the church through that gift. But also, it is good what he does for us in that gift, in the trust it builds, in the patience it builds, in the things he does inside our heart in a gift like that. You see, it's just one of the many examples of how what is God pleasing is also what is good for us. So again, I ask, how do we live in this tech-driven world in a way that is both good for us and a way that is God-pleasing? And today and over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be trying to answer that question. How do we tie those things together? How do we do his will and benefit ourselves through technology? And we're going to use our CTS mission statement as our outline for this series. And if you don't know it, or need a refresher, or just haven't heard it in a while, here's our CTS mission statement. Reaching up, in, and out. We reach up to God in worship, in relationship with him. We reach in to one another in Christian community, and we reach out to the world he loves and to those who may not know him. That mission statement is something we simply don't talk about enough. It's huge. It's our purpose. It's his will for our lives. It is what is God-pleasing. It is what is good for us. So it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be talked about how that mission statement, how that purpose happens when the world around us is constantly changing. So we're going to start with the first part of that mission statement, reaching up to God, having a relationship with him. And we're starting with this portion for the same reason it comes first in our mission statement, because it's most important. And I'm not saying that Christian community isn't. I'm not saying that outreach is not important, but none of it really matters if your relationship with God is failing. None of it really matters if you don't know your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we start by talking about how we reach up in this world we live in today. And this is what brings us to our sermon text today. And the sermon text is that account from Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. And it's an interesting account. One, because you don't really hear this story preached on much. I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on it. But also, this story is about as far from our modern world as possible. Thousands of years ago, a completely different environment, completely different technology present. But you see, what these people were after is in a lot of ways the same thing we are after today. They wanted to build a tower to the heavens. They wanted to make a name for themselves. And why they were doing it was simply because they could. They never really stopped to think about whether they should. They were doing the same thing we often do today. They, like us, were overwhelmed with what they could suddenly achieve. So they sought to make a name for themselves by reaching toward the heavens. And essentially, what these people building this tower to heaven were doing was saying, we don't need God. We can do this on our own. We can be powerful on our own. We can make a name for ourselves on our own. And in many ways, that is our culture, doing things simply because we can. And technology, it allows us to do the same thing these people were doing. It allows us to play God. I mean, how many things does technology allow us to do that 50 years ago were things reserved for God? I mean, think about it. If I want to communicate with someone on a far side of the world in an instant, I can do that. It's in my pocket. If I want to search all the knowledge that human history has come up with over the last several thousand years, and I want it in 10 seconds, I can usually do that. It's, again, in my pocket. And if I want to broadcast a message to the world, if I want my opinion to be heard, if I want to change people's minds, well, I can at least try. These are ways where technology allows us to try to be God, to play God, to push him out, to convince ourselves that we don't need him. That's what those people in our sermon text were doing. They tried to push God out of the picture. And remember the end of the story. What happened to them? Well, their languages were confused and they were dispersed across the world. Their vanity and pursuit of greatness left them more divided than they had ever been before. Does that sound familiar? We today in our world are pursuing greatness, often pushing God out of the picture, and it's no secret we are as divided as we have been in a very long time. At the Tower of Babel, in this Genesis account, the problem was not their ability to build that tower. The problem was not that they had the technology and capability to do it. The problem was why they chose to build it. To them, it was an idol that took the place of God. And that is our great danger in this modern era. That is the great danger of all the technology we have. The great danger is if it allows us to say, I don't need God. You see, that's what an idol is. It's something that takes the place of God in our lives, something that allows us to slowly push him out, that allows us to convince ourselves that we don't need him. And a lot of times, idols and idolatry, they don't happen in a way where we first outright say, in a confession, I don't need God, I have no use for him. Usually it happens slower than that. Usually it happens subconsciously with us putting thing after thing in front of him. And I've got a great definition for idolatry I love using. I know I've used it before in a sermon, and I use it in Bible study all the time, but we're going to use it again because it's something we need to think about. Here's what idolatry is. It can be broke down by this acronym, ISM. Idolatry is anything that you get your identity, security, or meaning from over and above God. So where do you derive these things from? Are they from God like they're supposed to be? This is a question we got to ask ourselves. Is there something in your life that is your identity before your identity as a child of God? If so, that's an idol. Is there something in your life that provides your security, your confidence, your safety net before the love and blood of Jesus Christ? Well, then that too is an idol. And what about your meaning? Is your meaning and purpose in life found with Jesus Christ and what he has asked you to do and a response to his love, or is it something else? If so, it's an idol. And on topic today, has technology or the use of technology become or allowed something else to become an idol in your life? Is your identity wrapped up in your Facebook or Instagram profile, in the amount of followers or friends you have, in the amount of shares or comments you can generate? Is your identity tied to the pictures of your life that you can share with other people? Is your identity tied to the image you can give off to other people, that image that is only highlighting the good parts of your life? How about your security? Is your security wrapped up in all the technology we have and the safety net that it can provide? Is it wrapped up in what this world and the technological advancements have to offer? Or how about something simpler? When you're stressed or anxious, what is often the first thing you do? Are you like me, where you grab your phone, not really knowing why you're grabbing it, but just as a safety valve, as something to take the pressure off, to distract you? What about when you're in line somewhere, or sitting next to someone on an airplane, or whatever, an awkward situation where you don't want to talk to someone or you don't want to look at them? Do you find yourself grabbing that phone as your safety net? Do you need a screen to fall asleep at night? Is your security wrapped up in technology, in the distraction it provides, in the things where it can give you that momentary, temporary comfort? What about your meaning? What is the reason you do things? Is it for God's purpose or for yours? Or for a million other idolatrous reasons? Is the good you do actually for good, or is it so that other people can see you doing it? Because that temptation is greater and greater as it becomes easier and easier to show others exactly all the good we do. You know, these are tough questions. And they kind of sting because most of us are very guilty of them. And all of us are guilty of idolatry. Whether we have a smartphone and are plugged into technology or not, we are all idolatrous. We all often put things before God, before our relationship with Him. We find our identity, security, and meaning in things that are not Him. Any command we break, any of His laws we do not follow, we break the first one. The one that says, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall have no idols before me. When we choose our will over His, we say, God, I don't need you right now. I don't need you in this phase of my life. I don't need you, God. In idolatry, it's always been present in humanity. It was present back in Genesis chapter 11, and it's present today. The only difference is that idolatry now takes slightly different forms. And if not different forms, we access it differently. Technology has simply made it quicker, more convenient, more accessible to get to those things that separate us from God. That is this great challenge of this tech-driven age. Having all of this good technology, having all these things that can distract us, and not letting it produce a barrier between God and us. And you know, having what would have been the most advanced piece of technology just a couple decades ago in your pocket, it's a powerful thing. An iPhone 6, and I know I'm dating myself using an iPhone 6 as an example, but even that now somewhat outdated piece of technology, its processor, its ability, its advancement is more powerful than supercomputers just 20 years ago. Having that connectivity, that advancement in your pocket is a powerful thing. And it can be a great danger when used to push God out of the picture. And honestly, just look at our culture. Just look what's going on all around us. As science and technology advance, as our world becomes more first world, more and more people say, I don't need God. More and more people say, I have no need for Him. I can reach the heavens all by myself. Their identity, security, and meaning all wrapped up in what this tech-driven world has to offer. Yet, at the same time as this massive advancement, this massive boom in technology, at the same time that people are readily saying, I don't need God, at the same time people are shooting for the heavens because they can, at the same time all this is going on, you look around us in our culture, it also seems to be falling apart. Political discord is unprecedented. Racial divides seem to be getting worse 50 years after the civil rights movement. Anxiety and depression levels are up. Suicide levels are up. The data, both firm and anecdotal, it's all saying the same thing. People are still suffering, maybe more than before. As technology continues to advance, we as a people are hurting. You see, in our world today, something is missing. Something is missing from people's lives. We may literally soon be able to build that tower to the heavens. That may be within our grasp soon. But even then, people will still be in crisis. Anger and hatred and loneliness and all the things that plague the human heart will still be there. Maybe even more so than ever before. That hole in people's lives will be the exact same way. It will still exist. And all the technology and distractions we can produce will not be able to fill it. Because the one thing our world truly needs is Jesus. And there's no app for that. There's no app for His love. There's no replacement for the identity He says we have. There's no replacement for the security His blood delivers us. There's no replacement for the meaning and purpose He says we have. The meaning and purpose that follows Him, that is for all people and not just for ourselves. That is what we need. That is what all people need in this age of advancement where so much is missing. A relationship with our Savior. That is what people need. And even for us here who have a relationship with Him, how often do we let things get in the way from a more meaningful and a deeper relationship with Him? How often do we let technology get in the way? And I'll say it again, technology is not the problem. The human heart is the problem. Technology is just a great way for the human heart to get what it wants, to get at its sinful nature even faster and more conveniently than ever before. But it isn't the problem. The problem, it's one that only Jesus can solve. A problem that he did solve when he went to that cross for us and on that cross called us his children in a way that death and sin could no longer steal us away. On that cross, our identity was given, our lives were made secure, and our purpose made clear. What our society needs, what our country needs, what we and all people need is a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with our God and Savior. And today, communication is faster than ever. Ideas are spread and shared with ease, faster than anyone can even keep up with. An individual can broadcast a message to the world. That is our modern tech-driven age. But even with all this information and all these ideas spreading rapidly, there is only one truth. There is only one way to wholeness. There is only one path to real life. And it's Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no way to the Father, no way to heaven outside of him. So in this world full of a million different things holding your attention, with access to whatever your heart desires at a single click, I urge you not to forget about the one thing your heart truly needs, your relationship with God, allowing God to reach you, reaching back to the God who is always reaching for you. Use technology. It's good. But don't let it get in the way of your relationship with him. Because all of these things we have now, they will pass away. But he won't. When the world around us is constantly changing, his love never does. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave,